Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
All right, we just learned in the last hour that a Manhattan grand jury voted to indict Donald J. Trump for his role in paying hush money to Stormy Daniels, according to five people with knowledge of the matter. John Ziegler, the host of the Death of Journalism podcast, will announce the significance of this indictment because, John, this pretty much locks it in for 2024, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm as pessimistic as anybody on the planet, and I'm not willing to go there quite yet. I mean, I get that that's the conventional wisdom, that somehow we live in such an upside-down world that someone getting indicted is going to clinch them the nomination over somebody that is far more qualified for the position and has a much better chance of winning than they do. But, I acknowledge that, you know, Trump was the heavy favorite this morning, and he's the heavy favorite this evening. So, I mean, how this is all going to play out is impossible to know. We're in uncharted territory here. We don't know. First of all, we don't even know what's in the indictment.
Right.
We don't know the optics. Is he going to get arrested or handcuffed or stuff like that? We don't know anything. We don't know when there would be a trial date. We don't know. We know nothing.
No, I know that. But, I mean, look, you've been I watch you pretty closely on Twitter, and you would admit that this is probably something that the former president was desiring, right?
Well, you know, I apparently was wrong, at least in part of my analysis, because I had become convinced, especially today, when there was reports out in the mainstream media that this grand jury was now going to take up to a month off, or almost a month off.
I heard that.
And so we all thought, okay, this thing is, if it's ever going to happen, has been significantly delayed. And then by the end of the day, we get this. So something is a shock. This is a shock that the media would get something wrong. But, I still believe that when Trump said, I'm going to get arrested on Tuesday, meaning a week ago on Tuesday, that was a lie. That he knew that was a lie, and that he did that in order to gin up, the support for himself and money and rally around the flag and all that. Now, I had come to believe that maybe the whole thing was a lie. Not that he was never close to being indicted, but that he realized that he wasn't going to be indicted. This was my working theory. He wasn't going to be indicted, and that because of the nature of the secrecy of a grand jury, he wasn't ever going to get any credit for that. So he wanted to pretend he was about to be indicted, arrested, so that when it didn't happen, it would look like he strong-armed them into being intimidated into not doing it. But apparently that was not accurate. I'm still amazed to me that somehow being indicted, even if it's a bogus charge, which I agree with those, that this certainly sounds like, although I'd like to see what's in the indictment, it certainly sounds like this is a bogus charge, especially for the Republican frontrunner for president, which I do think, you know, when these are judgment calls, these are the human beings make judgment calls all the time. And I think the threshold for somebody who's a former president, who's running for president, who's the Republican frontrunner, the threshold ought to be higher than what we currently understand this case to be, to bring an indictment. And I do think that I agree. I fully acknowledge, as someone who loathes Donald Trump, that this is not bad for his effort to win the nomination. But I don't really understand on what basis it would clinch it for him.
I don't think it would. Look, there's a lot of time. We don't know. And by the way, you know, DeSantis could fall on his face, too. We don't know because this is very early. However, it's amazing to me, John, and I know you've tweeted stuff. When I see these poll numbers, I sent John a message this morning. I'm going to Spain in a few weeks. I might just stay there. I don't know if I can survive next year with Trump being the nominee. I just don't know if I can do it. It might be too exhausting.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, you want to come to Spain with me?
In all seriousness, if it is Trump Biden, which I've been saying for years, it's likely to be Trump Biden. If that's where it ends up, I will probably, I can't say for sure because something else might happen to pique my interest in another area, but I would probably leave public life at that point. It wouldn't be worth it. The country is gone at that point. And so, you know, there's some entertainment to it, I guess, but watching it all, what's left of it burn down. But I mean, if this is really where we are, then there's nothing for me to do here. There's nothing left. There's no reason to, because I'm a cause guy. I'm in this for the truth and to do whatever little I can to try to maintain the republic. And there's nothing I can do about this, and there's nothing anybody can do about it at this point. And it's all gone. It's done. If it's Trump Biden, it's done. And it's done not just because the two candidates would be terrible, but because Trump will lose. And at that point, then Biden wins re-election, and then the day after the midterms, he resigns, and
right.
Kamala Harris
is president. Right. That's what people are desiring, apparently.
Right. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, that is not a conspiracy theory. That is 1,000% what would be, barring, you know, some black swan event. That's exactly what would happen. And then, you know, she would be an incumbent president running in the next election in 2028, there would be nobody. It would probably be Trump again would be the nominee, as insane as that is. But that's the most likely scenario, because Trump now owns the party. And if he gets nominated while under maybe multiple indictments, you know, there'll be never more proof of that than then.
The own the party thing, though, is interesting. And there's no way that, you know, an anecdote for me represents the entire GOP, and I've seen the polling, so I know that. But I mean, the people that I know that were the most ardent Trump supporters in 2016, and then still in 2020, John, they've moved on. They don't think this is a good idea, and for many reasons, including what you just said about the fact that he would lose in the general election. There's a lot of concern, I think, from people who are informed that follow this. I don't know what to make of the polling. Now, DeSantis isn't even in the race yet, you know, so he realistically, we're all inside the bubble. We know these things. We know he's the Florida governor. We see the coverage of it. A lot of Americans don't. You know, they don't know what's going on out there.
I think there's a lot to what you just said. Again, I always tend to be on the pessimistic side, which means I'm usually right. Although I was
and
not,
humble
was,
and humble.
Don't
Zig.
Forget but, that.
Right, but it just tends to be the way the world works out. The only time I'm ever wrong is when I'm optimistic, like when I said that Trump wouldn't get indicted. That was too optimistic, apparently, for the world we live in. But anyway, as far as the DeSantis situation, I do think it matters that he's not officially a candidate, although I don't think he's going to get a massive bump once he gets in, because it is presumed that he will get in, and he's been acting like a candidate. Look, to me, I have said many times, and I'm going to continue to say it, if you give me one stat, I can tell you who will for sure win the nomination. Is Donald Trump's hardcore percentage of the Republican primary voting base, is it above 40% or is it below 40%? If it's above 40%, he's the nominee. because you can't beat him in a multi-person race in Iowa and New Hampshire. And if he wins Iowa and New Hampshire, it's over, because then he'll have all the momentum and everything will collapse for DeSantis. And, you know, while it won't be completely over if DeSantis was relatively close second in both of those races, there's no catching him, because he'll be the alpha male. The only way to beat Trump is to remove him from his throne. There must be blood, and that blood must be shed in Iowa and or New Hampshire. Now, if he's below 40% as the hardcore rock base, then I think all bets are off.
Yeah.
At this point, I would say that it's probably more than 40%. But we don't know that. And as you know, I follow polling data as closely as anybody. You know, on the positive side, if you're in our camp, Mark, it's pretty freaking remarkable that Trump is clearly below 50% especially in the multi-candidate polling, when you consider that 100% of Republican voters have voted for him previously for president of the United States. So he's already lost at least half of the people who have previously voted for him for president. That's pretty remarkable, right? I mean, so, and that's before DeSantis
even. I would agree. That's why I'm so, and that's really kind of the main reason I'm so confused by the polling, because he's only widened his gap here the last month or so.
Well, hold on. There's a difference between national polling.
No, I get it. Iowa, he's DeSantis is doing quite well, and in New Hampshire.
Frankly, I've never seen polling more all over the map than what I'm seeing with Trump and DeSantis. I mean, there is literally all over the map, both in the state polls and the national polls. To me, it is concerning that Trump continues to expand his lead in the Morning Consult national poll, which comes out every 2 or 3 weeks. And frankly, I believe, Mark, it's simply because COVID is fading from memory. I think that the anger over COVID is slowly fading. The memories of what happened with COVID are slowly fading, as well as the midterm disaster. DeSantis' great victory was in the midterms. Trump got thumped in the midterms. People are forgetting that. How they're forgetting it, I don't know. But time, you know, tends to do that.
It does.
And if you look at the polling data, right in November, right after the midterms, DeSantis was much closer nationally to Trump than he is now in most of these national polls. Now, DeSantis, again, I'm trying to be trying to jump off the ledge, but all things going as expected, DeSantis is going to have a massive fundraising advantage over Donald Trump, massive, and that can help in Iowa in a huge way, because you can basically buy an organization in Iowa. And I think that that's the strategy. Iowa, you would think, would be a bad place to beat Trump because, you know, he has a cult, and a cult is much better in a caucus than it is in a primary, because it takes a lot of energy and time and effort to vote in a caucus. However, counterintuitively, because of the money aspect, that might be the place where there's blood, if there's ever going to be blood in the DeSantis-Trump battle.
John Ziegler is with us, the host of the Death of Journalism podcast. If you haven't heard, it appears that President Trump is going to be indicted, the first former president to face criminal charges. Let me segue, though, John, into, and I'm guessing if you haven't already talked about the coverage from Nashville, you will on your next podcast. The reaction to the way that the media is handling this.
Mark, as you know, I'm as jaded and cynical about the news media as anybody on the planet, and even I was surprised. I talked earlier about how the only time I'm ever wrong is when I'm optimistic. I thought that the media coverage of this would dissipate quickly once we found out that the shooter was transgendered. I thought they would go, oh, okay, never mind, let's move on, what's Trump up to? And obviously now, by the way, with Trump's indictment, that's exactly what will happen. But up until Trump's indictment, that's not really what has happened. Instead, they're now so brazen that they just simply ignore whatever reality doesn't fit their narrative or their agenda. They just ignore it. Or they even go further and they rationalize it and they turn it in the opposite direction. Or they even defend the shooter by saying, you know, either that they were provoked into it, or it's a dishonor of them to misgender them by giving them the wrong pronouns,
right,
blaming the police.
It's all about the pronouns. I mean, don't worry about the bullets and the little kids. Let's worry about the pronouns.
I mean, you couldn't make this up, Mark. I mean, literally, two or three years ago, if you and I discussed this potential scenario, we would laugh about this. We would say, no, it's not possible. There's no possible way that this is the way that it would go down in the news media. But this is the world we're now living in. And the White House press secretary basically said it today.
I was going to bring that up. She said the trans community is under attack, right? That's who's under attack right now, the trans community.
But what? Just before she said that, she referenced the midterm election results and it said that people voted for freedom. And that almost, I think it's like the sentence or two before she says the trans community is under attack. And to me, Mark, that was the most blatant admission that they saw the results, the Democrats did, of the midterm elections as basically a mandate to fly their freak flag as freely as they possibly want, because they now know that if they got away with what they got away with in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 and won a presidential election and then didn't get beaten in the midterms, they can do anything they want. Anything. And there will be no backlash because there's no police in the news media anymore. And frankly, largely because of Donald Trump, the Republican Party has lost a lot of its power to rein in the insanity. Because now the Republican Party, even lost state legislatures in 2022, which had been a mainstay for the Republican Party in recent years. And so they are very confident that they can do whatever the hell they want now, and there will be no backlash. And especially with the news media carrying their water for them. So,
well, they must feel that way because one of the things, and this is actually a serious question. I don't understand, boy, the trans community's got the best PR machine out there, but you have the vice president and the president sitting down. The president sits down with TikTok star Dylan Mulvaney, the person who chronicled the transition and just had the 365th day of anniversary of transitioning. Do they think that there's that much political payoff with the left to keep featuring this? They must, because in my part of the country here, John, I know you live in California, there's a lot of moderate Democrats that are kind of put back on their heels by some of this stuff.
It is the strangest political calculus that I've ever seen in my life. I do not believe that there is more than 1 or 2% of the country that is on the side of transgender extremism. I don't believe that there is. However, I think that a large portion of the country has now been so paralyzed by political correctness, or whatever you want to call it now, fear of the woke mob, that those that feel that way, like us, are very hesitant to express it. And the Democrats, I think, were bracing for that expression at the ballot box, and it didn't come. And so when people aren't saying it in the media, because the media is controlled, and they're not saying it publicly, because they're afraid of being canceled, and they're not saying it at the ballot box, then what's the danger for Democrats? I mean, they're doing it because they like doing it. And it does, they get a lot of love on social media for doing it, too. So, and it's a lot about virtue signaling.
There's no doubt. But is there a chance that, when Jen Psaki says last week, I think it was last week, that, the culture war issues are not going to resonate as much in the presidential election, is there a possibility that she's right from the perspective that they didn't really resonate nationally as much as we thought they might last fall? And I still think when we talk about a lot of these things, when the legacy media gets a hold of these stories that we break down in different ways, certainly you do, John, is rooting out the truth here. Most people don't see that side of the story. They just see the side that says, Republicans hate trans people.
That must be the reality. But when most people are only exposed to a limited amount of news media that's very biased in that direction, and they don't do a lot of critical thinking of their own, and they're busy and they've got kids and they don't spend a lot of time on this. I guess I can understand it. As far as there not being a backlash at the ballot box, I really believe that Donald Trump is a huge part of that. Donald Trump is somebody who paralyzes a lot of those Democrats that you referenced into staying where they are, because they don't want to support a party that is run by Donald Trump, that the brand is Donald Trump, and it goes throughout the ballot, down the ticket. We certainly saw it in the Senate races. And I think it hurt in some of the House races.
I think Republicans
underperformed as well. Yeah. So Donald Trump basically takes, in my looking at this, and I think, look at Georgia as a great example. And, a governor who stands up to Trump, and Trump basically tried to torpedo Brian Kemp.
Overwhelmingly reelected, right?
It wasn't overwhelming, but he won by 4 or 5%. And Herschel Walker, a guy who was a pretty decent candidate, considering he won a Heisman Trophy in Georgia, and I thought he was a great guy, but he's a Trump candidate. He ends up losing by 2% in the Senate race in the same year. So you could argue that Trump is, a 5 to 6 point deficit maker for Republicans. Similar results came elsewhere.
Oh, all the Trump supporters in this audience are shaking their head. They're cussing you out right now. Zig, before I let you go, because I'm short on time here, tell me about the latest podcast. What do you want to say?
Well, a lot of it's what we talk about here.
Yeah.
Some of it, but I do go pretty deeply into the Trump DeSantis battle, and I also talk about Dr. Fauci and misinformation and how hilarious that is for him to be discussing that. So check that out with The Death of Journalism.
Zig, have a great week, great weekend. We'll talk soon. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
All right, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.